your first published piece was in Field and Stream.
Field and Stream, 1956.
56. What was it about?
It was about fishing on the White River in Arkansas. And the name of it was The River That Has Everything.
Did you just send it to them
out
of the clear blue sky?
Well, I wanted to be a writer, but I didn't have an opportunity to learn writing in school. So I started writing a lot of letters to different people, and it just got easier and easier. Finally, one day, I decided to try to write a feature article for a magazine. And I asked my wife, Joanna, I said, where do you think I ought to send this? And she said, send it to the best magazine there is first. And that was Field and Stream at that time. I sent it, and they bought it.
What a thrill.
And then I couldn't believe it.
And then you went on and did many things with Field and Stream.
Yeah, and I was at one time a field editor. But the thing is that I've never had any magazine I've submitted a feature to, they've turned it down. I became friends with the editor of Field and Stream a number of years later. His name was Jim Baseline. And I asked Jim, I said, Jim, why in the world did you buy that article that I wrote? And he said, well, the article wasn't very good, but you had good pictures and it was a good subject. And he said, that's what I'm for, the editor. He said, I made your writing readable.
Well, you've gone on to publish many books, and you contribute in many fly fishing publications, Fly Fisherman Magazine, American Angler, Trout, In Fisherman, and of course, Field and Stream.
Yeah.
And then you've written Dave Whitlock's Guide to Aquatic Trout Foods, The L.L. Bean Fly Fishing Handbook, The L.L. Bean Bass Fly Fishing Handbook, and Imitating and Fishing Natural Fish Foods.
Yeah. And I probably... And our new one, which is Artful Profiles of Trout, Salmon, and Char.
Yes, and I have it right behind me, and I want you to autograph it before I leave. So we add this to your title, too, writer.
Yeah.
You were a writer as well, so many talents. Just a little bit about trout.
It's a freshwater fish. It has to live in average water temperatures between 45 and 65. Now, bass lives in water temperatures from about 65 to 80. Those are the ideal temperatures.
Would you say the trout is one of the most beautiful fish
out
there?
There's no question about it, yeah.
So many different colors that you capture through your art.
Yeah.
You've just shown me one that you just finished, and you do that with these colored pencils that are sitting on this table.
Yeah. And I also use acrylics and watercolor and oil, but I prefer to use the colored pencils because it suits my style. I like to put a lot of small details into my work of what's really there when you look at the subject.
So then when you put your hand in the water and you're holding one of those trout, it's got to be a thrill for you even today.
Oh, yeah.
Because you see all those colors. There are many varieties. Some are naturally grown, and then there are others.
Well, in North America, native fish are rainbows and cutthroat and brook trout. Brown trout has been imported from Europe, and they're becoming a very popular fish. And so when you go out fishing, the trout rivers here in Arkansas and out west, you catch all four species.
Would Colorado be one of the capitals of trout?
Yes. Yeah, the Rocky Mountains, because they're high and it's a more northern climate, those streams stay cold all the time there.
Yeah. But you can look at a fish and see whether it came from nature or from a hatchery or as a hybrid.
Yeah.
And you can ID their sex even.
Yeah. You know, everything has physical characteristics. When a fish is raised in an enclosure, it does not have the look or the coloration it needs to survive in the wild. So when you look at a fish, you can tell by the shape of its fins and its color whether it's been pen-raised or wild.
They change color during spawning, I believe.
Usually they get brighter in color to attract each other, yes.
So by looking a fish in the eye, you can tell a lot.
Yes.
What?
Well, first of all, as an artist, the first thing, if you're going to paint or draw something that looks alive, you have to start with the eye. Because every person that looks at that, the first thing that they look at to see what it is the eye. And the eye has to have that life and the personality in it. If you don't capture that first, you fail at your task. So a fish's eye, when you first catch it, has a wild, excited, or scared look to it. If you retain it very long, it starts to fatigue, and just like if you're really feeling bad, it starts to fade. And when it starts to die, it dilates. So when you catch a fish a lot of times, if you keep it out of the water too long, it begins to dilate. That means it's dying.